piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open your Bibles to Revelation 18, verse 4. We are way into the analysis of that particular verse. But anyway, Revelation 18, 4. All right, let's take the usual time to check ourselves and be sure that we are in fellowship and ready to hear the information that we have today that absolutely goes up against what's going on in this country currently with the celebration of the 250th anniversary. This is absolutely the exact opposite. You couldn't get more opposite if you tried with regard to the mentality of the average American at this time and what we have right here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from you, we have assembled ourselves together so that we can receive those things necessary to truly orient us to your plan as it unfolds. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. The second pronouncement that John hears, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. That can only be God speaking, not an angel. Angels would never refer to us as my people. Refer to believers, excuse me, as my people. Come out of her, my people. This announcement is from heaven into the hearing of humanity with particular emphasis on born-again believers who are saved shortly after the rapture. Because this announcement has to come early on after the rapture to give people adequate time to make the move before the judgment falls, so that you will not participate in her sins. In other words, you will not receive the final result of the history of the sins of this entity and receive of her plagues. Okay. Pretty far into that, all but done with that. I'm just going to skip down to verse 33, point 33. For the speaker to place the plagues in the future, after having spoken of the city's destruction, is no problem, because this is an intercalation which ignores the chronological consideration. The plagues that come upon those who refuse to heed the call to separate, be they believer or unbeliever, are detailed in verse 8. These plagues are the punishment. These plagues are the punishment falling on those who happen to be in the United States when it is attacked and destroyed, as the Bible says, in 1 hour of one day. These plagues, as we shall see, are all compatible with nuclear radiation and poisoning. They fit that perfectly. A nuclear attack squares with the language that those outside the continental United States will keep at a distance out of fear, associated with Babylon's burning. Verses 10, 15, and 17. See, it's like a puzzle. You put it together. What starts making sense? People would not stay at a distance with ordinary fire. Yeah, they'd let it burn out. But they remain as best they can at a distance. We've already seen in our study that the fallout, literally, from the nuclear attack is going to kill a lot of people otherwise in the world. We saw that in the judgments in the first half of the tribulation, the last one of the six judgments. Now we have in verse 5 an allusion to the Tower of Babel. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven. For her sins have piled up. The word translated piled up is an aorist passive indicative of kolao. Means to glue together, join together, piled up. As high as far as, preposition archi, as far as heaven. Sins is, of course, harmatia in the plural with the pronoun her. And God has remembered her iniquities. He keeps a record to remember. God doesn't remember things like we do. I remember that. Those things are before God, of course, at all times because of the attribute of divine omniscience. But we use the language of accommodation with regard to a human function, remembering something, and having here with regard to God. And God has remembered. The word iniquities is adikema, which means a crime in the legal sense. It would be a crime. He has remembered her iniquities. He hasn't just put them aside and forgot about it. One, God assigns an additional reason for the overthrow of Babylon, a.k.a. USA. The language is an allusion to the Tower of Babel, based on the aorist passive indicative, verb, glue together, put together. The passive form means cleave to join one to another in a mass. The idea is that the sins of America affix themselves to one another until the invisible structure reaches heaven. In other words, the iniquity, there's other analogies in Scripture to filling up something and reaching the overflow point. This one is of a building, of a structure, an invisible structure, but nevertheless a reality. The noun kola means glue. The allusion is to the Tower of Babel, where the dark side that took control of America began in the ancient secret societies which overshadow American culture and foreign policy. That's one of the things that isn't brought out. It is by some scholars and teachers, that these secret societies dug their claws in and influenced greatly. That's why we have some of the things that are so obnoxious and so destructive and affecting our foreign policy, our domestic policies, way beyond what you might think. I've seen what presidency was it? Bush 1, 2, talking about the society they were in at Yale. And so was asking questions. and the fellow, I forgot his name, that he was running against, the Democrat. They were in the same society. They're supposed to be, you know, political opponents, right? I like to look at the analogy like things they have had, I don't know if they do it anymore, on TV where you have these fighters fighting each other. And it's all staged. It's all staged. The outcome is staged. It's not like true competition. It's a show. It's a put on. They're pounding away on each other, you know. The outcome is already determined, and the people are out there screaming and yelling like a bunch of idiots. I went to one once when I was a kid, a pretty young guy, in St. Louis. I attended one of them. I remember a few of these little things I attended, but not much. I went and saw the Three Stooges. I did. But I went to one of these wrestling matches. And, of course, with the passage of time, you come to realize that this stuff is just for show. Oh, yeah, people get thrown around and hit and even hurt. But it's all just a big show. And I remember going there. And I was taken as much by the what was going on up there on the platform where they were wrestling and hitting each other to some of the people out in the audience screaming and yelling like maniacs. Anyway, seven, the phrase as high as heaven or as far as heaven pictures a stack of bricks corresponding to sins, STA, various kinds of things going on. Jeremiah 51:9. What's all I got here? We applied healing to Babylon. Who is we? Who's the we here? I don't think it's the church age believers. I think it's after the rapture. There is an appeal. Like, you know, coming down to the midnight hour, coming down to the finish line. You still have a chance to pull this together. Even though they know they're not going to do it. We applied healing to Babylon. But she was not healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. For her judgment, here we are, has reached unto heaven. Notice the harmony between the Old Testament prophecy and what we have here in chapter 18. It has reached as far as heaven and towers to the very skies. And I know it's Jews because of verse 10. Lord has brought about our vindication. Come and let us recount in Zion, that's Jerusalem, the work of the Lord our God. There's a new influx of Jewish, in this case, legitimate believers, are going to come from the United States, the second largest population on the earth of Jews, reside in these United States. And when they go back, unlike the ones before them, when they go back, they're going to go back as believers. And they're going to be talking and communicating. This is in the first half of the tribulation. During those first couple years when people have an opportunity to exit. Nobody can put all this together and see it on a timeline perfectly. I can't. And all this is all I can't wrap my head around all this that's going to be going on this earth through those 7 years. So the phrase as high as heaven or as far as heaven pictures a stack of bricks corresponding to sins. Like the aorist have piled up, the aorist has remembered is also proleptic. God cannot overlook the crimes of anybody, the sins of anybody, and certainly not of a national entity of Babylon. He cannot overlook these things. Just, oh, okay. No. God gives people a lot of rope so they can get their act together. If they don't, then the hammer comes down. And the hammer will come down. We already know the end game. The non-iniquities refer to STI activity from a legal standpoint. Crimes. The massive misdeeds or injustices or crimes of America demand punishment by the judge who sits in the heavens. He holds nations and individuals accountable. Period. That's one of the reasons why we are to fear God. I don't mean go around trembling. I mean we fear God. No, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to do that. If you do something, you cover it up with rebound. Point 12. When the last sins are added to the imaginary structure, God will make the punishment fit the collective criminality. From the average person in the street all the way up. You and I have lived and seen this decline in the morals, in the norms and standards of the United States if you've been here very long. I certainly have. Things that were not embraced by the general population are now embraced by the general population. And it has been inculcated in us through our media, television, other things. This stuff has been gradually brought in, and then it comes in like a flood. So we are openly advocating things such as the LGBT mess. If you speak out against it, they just rail and go crazy. But God has left an example on the face of the earth that those nations and people who embrace this thing will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. We got an area on our earth that's went from a prosperous agricultural area to the opposite. There it is. And it's in your New Testament that that's brought out. It's there as a witness, a testimony, as a warning against any people or nations that practice and advocate this kind of behavior. That's just one example. These crimes attach themselves to the memory of God who only forgets where there is repentance. The Assyrians under Jonah. The Assyrians under Jonah. They went to the midnight hour. They went right to the edge when the hammer was going to come down. You can go read all about it. We studied the book of Jonah. They went right up to the edge. They were a vicious people. Their primary crime was cruelty. Cruelty. And so Nineveh was spared. Its history was extended because they repented They turned to the God of Jonah and received forgiveness of their sins. As horrific as they were, sins can be forgiven. A nation can turn around. But if they don't, they'll be brought down. And this is, we already know ahead of time, the end game for this country. So they can go out here in the street and get all excited, wave their flags, shoot their fireworks, say the usual mantra of stuff, land of the free, home of the brave, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to come across as I don't appreciate living in this country. I do. There were some very positives, one of which, there was no religious persecution by the state on your beliefs. You might get persecuted by other people, family and so forth, but we didn't get that. So anyway, I got dry mouth today. Sorry about that. And I will need another gallon of water up here, okay? Thank you. Nineveh was about to be punished for her collective sins. It's the whole Jonah thing is a great story. There's so many principles involved here. Here is a true prophet of God, without question, who is given an assignment outside Israel to go to Nineveh. He isn't told that the Ninevites are going to turn around. He doesn't have to be told. He knows God wouldn't be sending him up there just to be tortured and killed. He knew they were going to come around before he ever went there. Jonah knew, but he despised him. It's one thing to despise the sins of people. So Jonah did a runaway. A number of believers in the Bible who did a runaway. Running from their niche and their assignment. Don't be one of them, but dramatically, he got turned around. He was heading west when he should have been heading east. He caught a ship heading towards Spain and got caught in a horrific storm out in the Mediterranean Sea. And they figured out by casting lots who was the culprit. It all pointed to Jonah. Jonah had given up then. Just throw me overboard. He expects to drown. And that way he won't have to go to Nineveh or nothing. God had other plans. And the miracle of the being swallowed by this monster grouper, I'll call it. A monster one. Not the kind of fish that crushes its prey, just swallows it whole. And to his surprise, being in the belly of this fish, going down into the water, his lungs didn't fill up with water. He didn't drown. He was supernaturally preserved in an environment where humans would die quickly. And there he stayed for however long it's a parody of, in a way, of Christ's resurrection. 3 days and three nights. That's where he was. And God directed the fish, and the fish took him east and regurgitated him on the shoreline. That must have been messy. I always like to, what I teach, I always like to say, when he walked into Nineveh, there's just another guy walking into Nineveh, right? Hundreds walk into Nineveh. It's a big city. But here comes this guy. If I was doing a movie on it, he would have been like an albino. that the acids and the stuff in that fish's stomach took a pigment out of his skin. Everybody's looking at this guy, see? But when he taught, when he got up and started his preaching, he didn't compromise the message. The Ninevites got the idea from him, this guy doesn't like us. He doesn't like us one bit. But he's got a message to discharge, and they repented under the preaching of Jonah. And God spared him. And Jonah went off pouting. Instead of, well, I'm so happy these people turned to the Lord. You can read about it. And he had to write the book and tell on himself. That's the good part, isn't it? He wrote the book of Jonah. He told on himself. All right. Nineveh was about to be punished for her collective sins over a number of generations, but she responded, and her status in the world continued for another century plus. They got a new lease on life. And then they sunk and went down to the next major world kingdom, Babylon. All right, double discipline. The United States is going to get double discipline. Because whom much is given, much is required. Have you heard that one before? To whom much is given, much is required. If you know a lot of doctrine and you go up against it or go away from it, then you're open to double discipline. Ooh, no thank you. Not just the normal stuff. Pay her back even as she is paid. Give back. Apodidomi. Aorist active imperative. Pay her back. Well, who is he addressing? Pay her back as she has paid. Pay back. Apodidomi. Twice in this verse. Once is an imperative and once is an indicative. Pay her back even as she is paid. And give her back and give back. Third time. Also an imperative. And give back to her, it's in italics, but that's the idea. And give back to her double. Double. The article with the adjective, accusative, neuter, plural, diplous. That means twofold. Double. And give back to her double according to her deeds. According to her works. In the cup. In the cup, which she has mixed twice as much for her. I hope you can stay up with this. In the cup, we've seen this cup with regard to the woman that's of the religious category in the preceding chapter, going around the world dispensing the mother-son cult and its final manifestation and the Roman Catholic Church, spreading this mess all over the place. And the peoples in the nations who drink of this cup are contaminated by the contents. The cup is golden, so it's attractive. That's the exterior. That's the overt of Catholicism. Cathedrals. Elaborate clergy dressed up. All of that stuff. That's the overt. That's the gold cup. It's the contents of that cup you don't want to take a drink of, so to speak. You don't want to buy into it. So we have the same cup analogy here with regard to the United States. We have spread ideology and belief around the world, and people have consumed it. In the cup which she has mixed, aorist indicative, karanumi, to mix up something. Mix twice, same verb, mix twice, mix a double for her. The adjective diplous. Give her a double shot of this potent drink. The announcement continues with words directed to the administrators of divine retribution against economic Babylon. They have not, it doesn't say here who they are, right? We have to go to other scripture to figure out who God is going to use to be the hammer to take down the United States. What people out there? He could do it directly, but he isn't going to do it that way. See, with God, the punishment always fits the crime, and everything is appropriate. If you've done these things, then I'm going to use this in particular. I could use this, this, and this to bring you down, but I'm going to use a particular thing that fits in with this, your history. So, the announcement. God is still the speaker here. Pay her back as she is paid. The announcement continues with words directed to the administrators of divine retribution against economic Babylon. God doesn't do it directly. He does it through an agent. He will use an agent. And we've seen this, of course, that God has used evil to judge evil, or whatever he uses. Obviously, he can bring judgment independent of using other humans to bring it to pass, as in Noah's flood. That was strictly a divine action with regard to the natural world. There is no way to determine who the destroyers of Babylon are from the information in this chapter. Can't figure it out from here. That's why we have, in any doctrine, we have other scripture we go to. Even assuming that the fire which destroys her and renders her unapproachable is nuclear. Isn't it fun how this fits all together? Once the places have been burned. Cities and places have been burned to the ground. And people can go back in there once, you know. But to stand at a distance and be afraid. Again, another thing that I guess a lot of Bible students have missed through the years is another reason for the coming of the Lord when it happens is technology. There had to be the right technology in place. Even assuming that the fire which destroys her renders her unapproachable is nuclear, we're still not certain as to whom it might be, even though there is a nation that stands at the top of the world's nuclear powers. From Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, we can ascertain who the second person plural is in the three aorist imperatives, repay, mix, found in the verse. God is directing someone to execute his guilty verdict. The imperative, pay or give back, echoes Jeremiah 50, 15, and 29, 51, 24, 56, dealing with the selfsame entity. God speaks to his chosen ones. Now, there's chosen ones in the real positive sense of believers. But the enemy that he has, those are his chosen ones. This is who I'm choosing to do this. So it's another use of chosen ones. God speaks to his chosen ones who are to carry out this horrendous attack on the citizens of America. The nation behind this is Russia. The scripture doesn't call it Russia. It calls a power from the far north that eliminates a whole bunch of them. It would eliminate China immediately. It's not far north. The nation I think of most often when you say far north is Russia. Plus, Russia has a nuclear arsenal that they have developed over the decades, have made tremendous progress, and there are scriptures that God's going to open up his armory and bring out these weapons of destruction. All the weapons on the earth are God's, like everything else, and he can use them however he sees fit, and he's going to bring out these weapons, the weapons of mass destruction, thermonuclear warfare. More on that coming up. All of her cities. We like to refer to our country usually with the terms of cities from coast to coast. You can start naming them, can't you, the biggies? From New York City and all the rest of them. The big cities. Chicago. L.A. And I'm leaving out some of them. All her cities will be set on fire. And everything in between them, the environs, will be dangerous too, because this stuff will go everywhere. But the cities are going to come under direct attack. The imperative payback, again, echoes those verses. God speaks to his chosen one. The nation behind this is Russia and her neighbors. King Cyrus went to war against bordering Russia. So I have a lot of documentation is found in Isaiah and in Jeremiah with regard to this. That data has to be gotten to put this all together in a package that makes sense. In Daniel 7, it is the bear who rises up on one side and is admonished by the three ribs, the three bear ribs, destroy much flesh, thus fulfilling the removal of the eagle's wings on the Anglo lion. Whoa, that's pretty cool to have that figured out. Find me a commentary that has that straight. Yeah, this is in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. I taught that a long time ago. Well, I guess it was. I'd have to go in the file and see how long ago that we did the book of Daniel. But Daniel chapter 7. Where he has these different kingdoms. Let me get this here. Okay, this is the one. It's the early part of that chapter there. This is the last king of Babylon when he got this vision, Belshazzar. And I was looking in my vision by night, verse 2, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. That would be the Mediterranean. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind or heart was given to it. That's the Anglo-Saxons. And what is, whenever you see Britain, what animal do they like to promote? The lion. The lion. This lion has eagle's wings. The eagle's wings are plucked up. That's the destruction of America, encoded here. And the animal and the lion stands on its hind feet, like they have portrayed in their deal. And a man's heart was given to it. I'm suggesting to you that in the tribulation, Britain is going to make the population. Is going to make a spiritual turnaround. They've gone way down. They're going to bounce back spiritually. And then the next beast is the one resembling a bear. Now, trying to break this down is another matter. And it was raised up on one side. That doesn't suggest the posture of the bears we see out there. It looks compromised. And three ribs were in the mouth between the teeth. Who they are, who knows? I don't even know if you can figure this one out at all. That means the bear has these three ribs under control. These ribs have been stripped of their meat. I don't think by the bear. And the ribs are imploring the bear to arise and devour much flesh. And then the next one is the Asian group, the leopard, and so forth. And then we come down to the kingdom of the Antichrist and all this. All right. Furthermore, Russia is the rider on the red horse, which takes place from the earth under the second seal judgment towards the middle or end of the first half of the tribulation. Let's take our break.